Oh, welcome to another episode of Talking with Apples. Today, we're actually out in Mountain View, Sunnyvale, in California. We will be doing a podcast with Arthur Thompson, who is part of the Firebase team, which is really awesome. So today, we're going to definitely be talking about Firebase, a little bit of Android, let's see where the conversation goes. So yeah, Arthur, maybe you can introduce yourself. What do you do on the Firebase team?
My name is Arthur Thompson, as you said. I work on the DevRel team for Firebase. Awesome. I've been doing Firebase now probably for 6 years or so. And basically, my team, we do content, videos, blog posts, podcasts. So we do content to help people understand how to use Firebase, and in general, from a Firebase perspective, we want to make sure people can do have successful apps, monetize their apps, and we think Firebase is a good way to do that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm obviously a Firebase GDE also. So I've been working on Firebase also for a very long time, since of real-time database. So it's been an awesome journey so far. But I think today we'll maybe just start off with something that I've been talking to a lot of people about within the Firebase community and people that are using Firebase, which is Firebase UI emulators. I think it's a really, really cool product. It's a very good addition to Firebase. Yep. So maybe you can maybe just explain what it is for our audience, and then we can just deep dive into it after that.
So the Firebase emulator suite is part of the Firebase CLI. So when you use the Firebase CLI, you would say Firebase emulator start, and that starts up the emulators. And the emulators come in two pieces. There's the underlying servers that represent real Firebase products. And then there's the UI, which is a web console that you would go to interact with the components of the Firebase emulator suite. So the idea of this product or this suite of emulators is to allow you to do many different things. You can develop your application using the emulator. So instead of connecting your test delete function to production resources, you would connect it locally to the Firestore emulator or something like that. So you can test out delete without having to connect to production before you're sure that feature works. Yeah. And so once you're able to do that type of development, you can also use the emulators in CI/CD. So if you have some type of CI/CD that runs when you push to your repository, those emulators can be spun up so that you can do things like integration tests. And then finally, I think the emulators provide a way for you to collaborate, or at least for each developer on your team to be able to do their own work. So because we're not using the same production environment, when I start up Firestore and I delete a bunch of documents, that doesn't impact you at all who's working on your own emulator. So it allows for parallel development of features.
Yeah. No, I mean you hit the nail on the head over there, because I think back in the days when we all started Firebase, we were creating multiple projects. Yeah, we had a test project and a production project.
Right.
In the real-time database, we had pretty much you could have split DBs and stuff in there.
Right.
So that was kind of something that was cool and could help. So you just had a different URL, and then I guess within your code specifically of your application, you could swap it out with Android. You could use different flavors or something like
correct,
that.
Correct. Correct.
But now this is actually quite a neat little tool, because now, like you said, you can pretty much be working in isolation, but then also you have a good environment for you to do your testing, which is really, really cool.
One other thing that's really nice about the emulators is that some Firebase products require billing to be enabled before you can use them. So functions or some of the other products, you have to put in a credit card or something like that. And what the emulator allows you to do is to try that product. So you can use functions without having to put in a credit card, build your, the logic for your code. And then when you're ready to deploy to production, you can worry about setting up billing and all of that.
Yeah, I think it's great. Like, you can obviously then figure out, like, from your own perspective, like, probably how much is probably going to cost you in terms of, like,
correct.
Yeah, because you can actually, like, test it out and be like, oh, cool. Let me go and do the little calculator thing and actually see how much it's going to cost. But that's actually a really great point. Because I was somewhere recently and like someone was like, oh, but if I use Firebase, like I have to put my credit card in, especially because of the cloud functions. And then I was like, oh, but there's the UI emulators, which is a really, really great thing.
And the other thing too is that you can feel confident about trying out new features.
Yeah.
So if let's say that you run a feature that has an infinite loop, let's say in a function.
Yeah.
If you deploy that to production, that could possibly cost you a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then you have to go through the process of getting a refund and things like that. So I think development in the emulators has a wide range of benefits.
Yeah.
And, you know, the emulators being part of the CLI, it really gets a lot of attention from our team.
Yeah.
Like we triage that repository weekly.
Okay. Right?
So we go through those, we assign those issues, and we try to resolve them as much as possible. Another thing I'll note about the emulators is that it's not built for scale.
Yeah.
So we've seen a few people like mention like, hey, I'm using the emulator and it's only allowing me to create 10,000 Firestore documents.
Yeah.
And I mean, we would love to support more than that.
Yeah.
But that's really not the purpose of the emulators.
Exactly.
And so while we probably try to raise that limit as we go along, it's just not a priority. Like we want to make sure that we can allow people to test logic far more than scale. I think Firebase is pretty good at being scalable.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to worry too much about whether Cloud Functions is going to scale or Firestore is going to scale.
Yeah.
The thing is your logic in your
working
app
correctly.
Working correctly,
yeah,
and not doing something that you don't expect.
Exactly. I think a lot of the time when I also speak to people, I'm like, please do not just like put this in a Docker container, because everybody's like, ooh, do I actually now have to use Firebase like in like the production version on the dashboard?
That's right. Yeah,
and then
yeah, yeah,
I'm like, please don't put it in a Docker container and try and scale it yourself, because it's probably going to go wrong like at some point, and then you're going to come back and say, oh, I should have just done it. But then it's like, it's pretty much your infrastructure already, right? Like, so yeah, it's probably better to just have Google Cloud, which is the underlying part of Firebase.
That's right. That's right.
To just help you scale, because yeah, that's probably a better solution.
Yeah. We've seen some people try to do that, like put the emulators in a container. And the thing to note is that the emulators are all in memory.
Yeah.
So all of the data, if you don't explicitly export the data from the emulator, it's going to be lost if you shut down the emulator and start it again.
Exactly.
So it's really not built for production. It's built for development and for testing.
Yeah. And I mean, you actually said something really great there. I think with the in-memory part of it is that you can also import and seed your actual DB.
Sure.
And then you can actually, like, I guess, get that seeded file to each of your developers. So as you guys are developing, like, you can export also from there. So, like, I think that's also a great thing. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really great product. And definitely people should definitely try and use it, especially when
you're
working with Firebase. I mean, the emulators, what are the emulators? I think it's Auth, there's Firestore, real-time database.
Right.
Storage.
Yep. Storage is in there.
Cloud
Functions is in there. Extensions is also in there. So if you
want
to try out Firebase extensions, which allow you to, you know, really import features that other people have written. So it's kind of like a plugin to Firebase. So you can try those out in the emulators as well.
Okay. Yeah. And that's actually a good segue, because like, Firebase extensions, recently you can actually like create, there's good documentation on like actually creating, creating these extensions and pretty much like them putting it onto the extension store.
So like we launched extensions a couple of years ago and we had a lot of, partners, if you want to call it second party partners that we work closely with, to build a bunch of extensions. And so we really wanted to make sure that we had the correct infrastructure before we opened it up to a wider audience of developers. And so now we think that extensions are at a point where we can open it up, to other developers. And so now anyone can come in, create an extension, and it'll get listed in our library of extensions, and anybody can include it in their app.
Yeah, and I think it's cool because, like, you could just go there pretty much. There's a very minimal setup for a lot of these extensions.
Yep.
They connect straight to your Firebase DB or whatever you have over there, and it's like an install button. Like, it's,
yeah.
I don't know, it's like free. It's like Git cloning something, but it just, and then it just works like in your application, which is also really, really cool. So,
I mean, one of the most popular things that developers have done so far is export to BigQuery.
Okay.
And so like in Firebase, if you have a Firebase app, you're using Firestore or Auth or different things, FCM. Sometimes people want to export that data into BigQuery so that they can like manage it or query it to get more insights. And really, like, it's not a difficult process to export to BigQuery on its own. But then when we created the extension to export to BigQuery, like, it was it just shut up. Like, people were like, oh, I could just add this extension.
Yeah.
And now a bunch, it's almost popular extension so far. And so it really just makes even easy tasks easier.
Yeah.
And it's just plug and play. So it's a good tool, I think. And I think as developers provide services and they want other Firebase developers to use their services, I think building an extension is a nice way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I've even seen that, like, there's a Stripe extension in order to
pretty much
like, if you want to use Stripe with your Firebase DB, it's like super easy now because you just install it. It uses the SDK and stuff like that, and yeah, it's like, I guess Bob's your uncle at the end of the day. Yeah,
yeah. There's a couple cool extensions around image processing.
Yeah.
So like, if you have images in your app, everybody knows that that's a bit of a pain to like resize them and make sure that they're the right resolution, right aspect ratio, all these types of things. Especially if you have like an upload feature in your app, when those images get uploaded, if it's like a photograph of a face or something, you want to make sure it's the right size, it's the right resolution, and so. Instead of building that in yourself, you can just use one of our image extensions and it can have all those features built in for you.
Okay, nice. And I mean, obviously with also all the like AI stuff that's kind of like coming up these days, I think having those extensions, I mean, there's already a bunch of extensions people are probably creating around a lot of those APIs and all of those stuff.
That's right. Like, one of the main ways people were using Google's Palm API was through an extension.
Yeah.
And so I feel like extensions just open up Firebase to a lot of features that you don't have to build yourself. So it's really cool. People should check it out.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, yeah, like, even in terms of like Firebase, we even touched on Auth. And I think like recently Auth has also been getting a lot of love within Firebase.
Yeah.
Maybe you can elaborate on some of the new things that
have
been going on in Auth.
One of the main things that we want to call attention to with Auth recently is the ability to use one-time short-lived passwords.
Yeah.
So if you think of apps like the Google Authenticator app, where you can add this second factor authentication where you sign in as you would normally, but then you have this code that is short-lived. It only lasts for like a minute or so.
Yeah.
And you have to add that code in order to sign in. So Firebase Auth now supports this. So can have your users, those that want to enable this second factor authentication, sync their authenticator with your app, and then you can use that as part of your authentication flow. So that's really cool. I would also want to call out in terms of Auth, but like as a wider security idea, AppCheck as a product that I think could benefit a lot of developers. So right now there's, you know, you have Firebase, you have your products, Firestore functions, and there's some risk that if a bad actor wants to like just abuse your APIs, so they either try to do an abusive number of reads from your database or an abusive number of requests to a function endpoint, you are responsible for securing that and preventing that abuse.
Exactly.
And so AppCheck allows you to limit that abuse and make sure that requests that come to your limited resources or your paid resources like Firestore and Functions, you can limit those to only come from applications that are tested. And we use the normal attestation process for Android, iOS, think of reCAPTCHA and things like that for web. And so once you once your clients are attested, then their requests are sent through. But like someone who's just scripting something from a terminal, they're not going to be able to get through because of the protection of AppCheck.
Okay, yeah. AppCheck was, it was really interesting when it was launched, because I guess it was something that like, I guess people maybe weren't even thinking about. And then it's like, but I do need to make sure that like trusted clients trusted applications are actually the ones that are hitting my backend, because again, like someone, like you mentioned, a bad actor could literally write some script and then you end up with a $20,000 bill or something like that, because and you're like, oh, well, where did this even come from? Like my app didn't even do any of these things.
Yeah.
I don't see the records. And then you realize, okay, cool. It actually came from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because someone actually managed to figure out where your function is. They found the URL.
That's right. I mean, people can be really creative as to how they like dig into your application and find your endpoints. They can use sniffers and things like that to over Wi-Fi and things and stuff like that. So it's really important that you take as many steps as possible to protect your resources. And as we were talking about Auth, so Auth is now also part of the AppCheck portfolio. Okay. So you can restrict people who can like use SMS, for example, for authentication, which we've seen some people use as an attack vector.
Yeah.
So instead of people just being able to repeatedly sign in and request SMS messages for confirmation, that can now also be protected by AppCheck.
Okay, that's really cool. Yeah, because I mean, social engineering is a thing.
That's right.
And like, yeah, I think people kind of also need to just know that like, if this thing is coming from, like, I mean, you need to know also, like, that something is obviously coming from a bad actor, and you need to be able to protect your own backend. Because, I mean, obviously, there's, depending on what you're doing, if you're like in payments or something, or you're in something where, like, you're people's money and stuff like that, right? Like, you don't want to be like doing anything too crazy and like putting stress on your environments and stuff like that, also.
Yeah, you really want to, like use the products in the way that they're meant to be used.
Exactly.
And so like when you set up your cloud function, you want it to be responsive, you want it to be fast, but at the same time, you want to have it protected. So I think one of the best ways of doing that is using something like AppCheck, so that you don't then have to have too much logic in your function before it gets to providing the service.
Yeah.
Right. And so using things like AppCheck, where it handles the attestation, it handles the validation. So when it gets to your function or to Firestore, the response can be quick.
Okay. Yeah. That's really, really awesome. And I think, on Firebase, there's always new things that are coming along and all of those type of things. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, we love new content. Obviously new things to kind of like protect us, new things to make our lives easier. I think that's kind of like Firebase's like mission.
For sure.
Is to make like app developers, web developers, whatever, like their lives like super easy and stuff like that. So I think that's that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean like we're paying particular attention to multiple areas. So Auth has some new stuff. We're also exploring I don't know if you've seen the web frameworks support, where you can deploy things like Next.js apps on Firebase. So anything with like a dynamic backend, we have some experimental support for that, and we're working on those types of things. So we're always looking for where developers are going and trying to meet them there from the Firebase perspective. One other thing I would mention in line with Auth is I don't know how many developers use Firebase UI, which is like our pre-built UI authentication.
Yeah.
And so if you're setting up an app and you want to do Auth, you can quickly use Firebase UI. We have it for web, for Flutter, for Android and iOS. You can add the Firebase UI library and then like with very few lines, like set up, Google sign in or any other type of sign in. And so one of the cool things about Firebase UI is that once you can use our built-in UI, which may not match your app style.
Yeah.
But then you can also use the underlying like state management and then put your UI on top of it.
Okay.
And so,
cool.
Yeah, so you could, it could kind of grow with your app. So at the first point where you just like want to get something out, you can have a UI that's pre-built, but it'll do all the right things.
Yeah.
And then as you become more sophisticated and your app grows, your app becomes more sophisticated, you can then say, okay, I want to build my own sign-in UI. But yeah. Then the underlying complexities of what's the user's sign-in state and what point in the sign-in flow the user is, all of that is still managed by Firebase UI, by the Firebase UI library.
Yeah.
But you expose it with your UI to the user. So in terms of authentication, I think that's another thing that some people know about, but I think more people could use, both in terms of using it fully with the built-in UI, but then also using the underlying bits, even with their custom UIs on top.
Yeah, I think like, because I mean, that state management and trying to figure out like how it actually works and going from different two-factor authentication methods and all
Correct.
Of that can also be a lot trickier than people think it is.
That's so right, that's right.
Potentially, this is definitely something that could potentially just help people, especially if they just want to slap their own UI on top of it and all of those type of things. But yeah.
And it also means like, it's not that developers can't do it. I'm sure that developers are very capable of building their own auth handling system. Yeah. It's just really time management where do I want to spend my time building features or do I want to spend my time building a sign-in screen?
Yeah.
And, you know, a good sign-in flow is important, but it doesn't, like, it's not going to make or break your application.
Yeah.
You should focus on your features and the things that makes your app successful.
No, 100%. And even talking about success is that like one of the things I'm really interested with in Firebase, because Firebase has, I think, like 19 products.
Yeah, 20.
20
products,
now.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. We're increasing it as we go. But I mean, yeah, I think like one of the section that I really like about Firebase is the section with Crashlytics, Test Lab, performance monitoring and all of those type of things.
Right, yeah.
And one of the things that's really great that recently was launched in terms of like app quality is the Crashlytics integration into Android Studio.
Yeah.
I've been testing it out and it really, really does help. When you pretty much like, now you don't have to go to the console itself. You literally log into Android Studio.
Yeah.
You go have a look at all of the crash that have come through. And well, what's nice, obviously, where I have used it is that we have the Jira integration. So when you need to pick up a Jira ticket, you're like, oh, okay, cool. And you just go into the you literally log into like app quality at the bottom,
right.
And you can go see exactly, literally click on the line of code and it literally takes you there.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to have to navigate your whole way through the console and all of those type of things. So yeah, maybe you can chat a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean the Firebase console, the magic that happens with Crashlytics, which is really like the combination of multiple crash reports to try to alert you of trends or maybe what the user was doing before they got up to the crash. I think all of that is still valuable. So I don't think we need to abandon the console.
No, of course not. Yeah.
But like having the crash right there inside of Android Studio just makes it so easy to like click and Android Studio will respond to that and take you to where the crash happens.
Yeah.
And you can like, you know, really resolve the issue with all of the context. You have the crash and the stack trace there, and then you have like the code on the other side. I think it's really valuable.
No, 100%. Now you guys just need to do Xcode. Get the Xcode integration and that will be awesome.
I think that's above my pay grade for sure.
But
we want to put as many features as close to developers as we can.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I mean, even with Test Lab these days, I think like with all these new devices that are coming out, like we see now foldables are kind of like making a really big impact. So developers have to like think about these larger screens and stuff like that on Android specifically.
Yeah.
Tablets are becoming a thing in Android now also. And I think also Test Lab over time like has actually improved a lot. Also, it's given like, I remember there only being like two Like you could do 2 runs per day, and now you can do a lot more. So
I think another feature about Test Lab that I think some people don't utilize enough is the video. So in Test Lab, when you have your test run, you can view video playback of that. Like the lead up to the crash or the lead up to the issue, whatever it might be. So when the test runs, you get like a video playback of how that test went.
Yeah.
And I think that is super valuable, where you could evaluate not just the thing that you were testing, but maybe something else happened that you didn't expect when you review the video. So yeah, I think Test Lab having more devices, and then also more configurations, so you can develop a matrix and plug that in. And I think we could do a better job of maybe making that more pluggable, similar to the way it is with Crashlytics in places like Android Studio and things like that. But yeah, we're definitely thinking about that.
Yeah, that's really, really awesome. And definitely that integration will be very, very valuable, I guess, to developers.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're at time.
Okay.
For our session, but it was amazing talking to you.
Sure.
And hopefully we can do it again sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you can come visit me in South Africa.
Yeah. For sure.
And then definitely we can do another one. But yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for coming through.
Thanks. No problem, PJ.
Cool. Cheers.
Yep.